so forth, that being my job. And we'll move immediately to the talent with Pavlos Kalais from the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. Pavlos.
Thank you, Martin. I'm going to make sure that the timer starts the right time when I have control of the... Great. Okay. Thank you for coming. That's great. Full capacity. Very excited to be here. As Mario said, my name is Pavlos Kalais. I'm an associate professor and Canada Research Chair at the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences. Today I have an easy part and a difficult part of my talk. I'm going to talk about a grand challenge, which is the role of clouds in climate. So the easy part. The easy part is I have no problem writing proposals. There's no problem finding motivation for the research I do. All I have to do is go to the latest IPCC report. You must be aware of this acronym. Download the latest projection for future climate scenarios, and you will see a lot of certainty. And if you start digging a little bit, what is their contribution to that certainty, you might figure out that by looking at beta 1, beta 2, A1T, these are different business scenarios about how in the future will be with the fossil fuel and what's the energy portfolio. But fundamentally, in each scenario, the biggest role, the bigger factor in uncertainty are clouds. Okay, so that makes research on clouds somehow important, critical, if we really want to reduce the uncertainty. Without reducing the uncertainty, there's no way we can make informed decision-making and policy. So what hinders us from doing that? Or even more fundamentally, why clouds end up being so important? First of all, it looks like there's a global conspiracy. Clouds do cover, at any given time, using satellite images, something between 60% and 70% of the globe. It looks like there's some kind of communication between the cloud systems. And this number is pretty much 65, 66, 67, varies very little over decades, at least what we have a credible record from the satellites. So why clouds are important? First thing, cover most of the globe. Second, as you might see from these satellite images, they reflect strongly incoming solar radiation, but also they modify the outgoing thermal radiation, the way that we exchange energy with space. The white color that they have means that they're a very effective reflector of the shortwave radiation. Also, clouds participate in the hydrological cycle. Precipitation doesn't happen out in a vacuum, starts from clouds. So why this is difficult to do? It looks like very simple, the role of clouds. The difficulty comes in the details. If you start looking at the inner works of the clouds, there are a lot of things you need to take care of. First of all, there's what we call release of latent heat, meaning that depending on the temperature you are in the atmosphere, and you know the temperature reduces with height, you can be in the liquid phase or the ice phase. Every time you have a phase change from vapor to liquid to ice, you have latent heat release. That's the way that you pump energy from the surface that gets overheated into the upper atmosphere. But that creates different type of particles. Different type of particles interact with the radiation differently. So that's another, the impact of what we call the radiative transfer. The last thing, and what I mentioned also before, clouds and the droplets, if they get big or they stay small, and the aerosols and pollution plays a critical role, can actually affect the way we form precipitation. And that's my last slide. Let's see what we do here at McGill. Actually, we are at the frontier of a lot of research projects, mainly from the observation side. What you see here is ground-based radars, space-borne radars, and active sensors. So we throw at clouds all the photons we can actually throw at them, and also we receive at the same time all the photons that bounce from the sun. But there are limitations. What you observe is not what you want, and what models can do with a reductionist approach and the simplified ways they try to model things are not exactly, those two things are like apples and oranges. So the research we do is try to not get lost in the translation, I try to be able to communicate effectively observations and models and do improve them over time. Thank you.
Thank you, Pavlos. Very nice. No, I don't need it. I got one. No, I still want to shake. Okay.